This episode of Fermented Adventure the Podcast is a bonus episode. It's our conclusion of our conversation with Mark Breen Klein of Independent Spirits Distillery. Be sure to reach out to Mark and Independent Spirits Distillery and let them know what you thought about the podcast. Cheers! Ladies and gentlemen, craft spirit enthusiasts, and those interested in the intoxicating world of craft distilleries, cideries, meaderies, wineries, and the occasional foray into breweries. It's Rich Shane, and welcome to Fermented Adventure, the podcast, where we bring you the fascinating people that are making the mash, fermenting, distilling, bottling, pouring, and delivering to you some of the finest libations in the world. Before we get started, here are a few housekeeping items. Thank you for bringing the podcast into wherever you are and whatever you're doing. We truly are grateful that you have chosen to listen and make us part of your day. It would mean the world to us if you left a 5-star review. This helps us climb in the rankings, and it makes it easier for others to find us. Don't hesitate to leave us your comments as well. If the podcast didn't meet your expectations, tell us why. We're always striving to improve. You can find us at fermentedadventure.com. We are on Instagram and Facebook as Fermented Adventure. Email us at fermentedadventure@gmail.com. All right, FA Nation, let's meet our guests. We're back at Independent Spirits Distillery. This is the first time, Mark, we've done a bonus episode because you have this little experimental series. And from our tasting we did a couple of days ago, we wanted to release another little, like, you talk about this secret menu, right? This is our secret. This is what people are going to come in and say, Mark, I heard about that secret menu on the...
They need to know the password. Yeah, we'll open up the gates.
What's the password going to be?
Oh, no, we
Fermented Adventure. Okay, there you go. So take us... I know the limoncello is not part of your experimental series, but that wasn't part of the other episode that we did.
Yeah, we oopsie-doodled. There was a bit of a clerical error on my end.
We had so many to do.
Yes.
This is like lemon candy. This is like a lemon drop.
It's a
lemon candy drop.
That one's a funny story, how we came to the limoncello. My mom lives down in Woodstown and part of the community there and all of that. One of the local neighbor ladies wanted to do a class here on how to make limoncello. And lots of people do that at home. It's a great little hobby to make something and give it away to friends. Really cool thing to have as a gift. So we decided, all right, we've never made limoncello before. We're a good Irish family, don't really do a lot of Italian stuff, don't pay attention to the espresso liqueur being Italian. But what are we going to do? Can't do a one-session class where you make a spirit that takes about a month to do. So let's do stages, and the ladies will zest some lemons and mix up some simple spirit, some simple syrup and some other stuff, mix it all together, and at the end you go home with a jar that is already finished so that you can have your mason jar of finished product. Well, we do all this work, we prep everything, we zested 200 pounds of organic lemons, and lo and behold, they cancel the class.
Oh!
Yeah.
No way!
We were all prepped and ready, then we wind up with this vat of staged limoncello, and they didn't want to do the class. So, what do? We start selling it. Worked out great at the bar, made the labels, got it legally approved and everything, and now we have an Irish limoncello.
That's really good.
Thank you. It's another where we hand zest organic lemons. We don't do the simple crushed lemon thing. We don't want the pith in there. That keeps all the bitterness out. We also make, of course, the spirit from scratch. It's our neutral wheat spirit. Very clean and very easy to work with. And we make the simple syrup.
Pardon the interruption. If you like what you hear, if you love what you're hearing, please share the podcast. Please take a screenshot of the podcast, post it on your social media, tag us, just to let everybody else know about Fermented Adventure, the podcast. We'd be grateful for your help to grow our podcast. I'm waiting to try something I don't like that you make, like something you made that's an accident. You slipped in there and say, hey, let's see if he's being real and honest. But wow.
That's really good.
This is, like I said, this is like I'll walk out of the restaurant and I'll pick up that little yellow ball that's wrapped in plastic. Mm-hmm. And now I get to enjoy this on the way home, except for there's alcohol in it. What's the proof on this?
The proof on that is 40 proof.
It's really?
Just like the
Again, special. It drinks higher than a 40 proof. Your neutral grain spirits drink higher than an 80 proof. And I welcome that. I think that's just a really nice, enjoyable sip that I would have put this about 60.
Oh, wow.
On the mouthfeel, on the palate.
Okay.
That's delicious. Wow. Now, Independent Spirits Distillery.
Yes.
How did you come up with the name?
My mother came up with that. Again, I wish I knew the machinations of her mind. I really do. I don't know where that one came from, but I remember being at the house one day when she made this happy sound, and it was the moment that you realized that that name hadn't been taken by anybody.
Oh.
Yeah, we were able to trademark it. And for a while, that was the most expensive and valuable part of the entire business, trademarking the name. That was long before we broke ground or knew where the place was going to be. There was talk of renting a barn from a farmer and all of that. And we held the name through the whole thing. We struggled with a couple different types of logo designs and whatnot, as most businesses do. And now we have a nice emblem. And yeah, really think that independent spirits is what we are. So that's what we will make. That's what we will present to the world and hopefully sell a couple bottles along the way.
Hopefully. Yes, we will. You will. We will. Who's we? I don't know.
The grand we. The transcendental Ralph Waldo Emerson we.
The rye, little limoncello. I'm just taking some of the things and I'm melding them together from what we've tried and what we're enjoying. That would be awesome. Just a little bit of... Go ahead. Actually, and here we go.
I have a cocktail that is those two things shaken.
Not sure.
And it is our independent sour. It is our take on, actually, I was here one evening and someone ordered a whiskey sour. And we normally make whiskey sours. I whip an egg white and do the whole thing. We fresh squeezed lemon juice and honey simple syrup from the bees that we have. And it's a beautiful
Wait. Bees you have.
Yes.
You have bees too. What don't you have?
You know, I'm asked that question quite often. I don't know what I don't have because I'm not aware of it enough to have it yet.
Okay.
But give it time and I'll come up with that too.
So you have bees at the distillery?
I actually just moved the bees from the distillery to my home. Because I purchased a home in the last year, it's easier for me to take care of them there. But yes, we have bees.
So you're making your own honey?
Yes.
Or the bees are making honey for you?
I am occasionally harvesting what they will allow me to take.
And what were you doing with the honey? Or what are you making with the honey?
The honey, we've made a few different cocktails with it, but right now it's mostly for our bee's knees and our whiskey sour.
The more we speak together, the more I'm even more fascinated by what you're doing. This is the quintessential farm to glass to bottle, all those things that, you know, however you want to cliche it. But this is the, you know, 5 miles away, your grain's coming.
Yep.
And you're picking local berries and you're working with the orchards and the farmers that are making these fruits. This is just, I'm so glad that your mom decided to do this instead of CBD.
Listen, so I'm sure I could make some really great weed stuff too.
I know, but it wouldn't be as much fun, would it?
We'll see what the law says in a couple years about that one.
But All right.
A weed-soaked cherry might go really well in an old-fashioned.
What's the name of the distillery, Chesapeake Bay Distillery? Dr. Stoner's. Have you had Dr. Stoner's?
I have not.
Okay, so bring that weed, add it to your distilled spirits. You're going to love that too.
Listen, somebody with a really good law degree and a little bit of extra time on their hands that will work for a bourbon barrel, make that legally a possibility for me and I will make you some amazing things.
All right.
Yeah.
The challenge that you've thrown down the gauntlet, challenge is there.
Yes. Come and find me and make that so.
This is the experimental series. So what are we experimenting with? What's the first one you want us to try?
Well, let's go with the chocolate whiskey.
Which is right here.
Yes.
Now talk about the chocolate whiskey.
That came from the fact that my cousin is out in Hawaii right now. He just finished up his master's degree in tropical agriculture. He did the Peace Corps and wound up in Hawaii studying tropical agriculture after doing that for the Peace Corps for a number of years. And trying to figure out how to do something chocolatey. Why would we ever do another thing that would involve a syrup? That would break our kind of code. So let's talk to Maxwell and get some organic, fair trade, Ecuadorian cocoa nibs.
Oh, you can smell it.
Yeah. So we got 20 pounds of cocoa nibs shipped from Ecuador and soaked them in whiskey for about 2.5 years. And yeah, that's what you're drinking right now.
My dad used to buy chocolate-covered cherries for my mom for their anniversary. I guess that was their thing. Never really got into chocolate-covered cherries. As much as I got into that liqueur, that the juice that was inside. This is the juice that's inside that chocolate-covered cherry. You get the cherry, you get the chocolate, you get the whiskey flavor. You get just happiness in a glass.
That fruitiness from cocoa nibs, you don't think of chocolate as having that type of almost a tartness to it with the bitter, but it's there and it's beautiful when you get it all to play together and nicely. It's again a story in a shot glass.
When's this going to bottle?
I don't know. We're still figuring out how to expand the production. Right now, we just made the one batch, so we only have it behind the bar.
Wow. I would just line up. I'd sleep here.
That would be so amazing for Valentine. I mean, I know you can't do it now, but
for Valentine's season, we do have, again, I've mentioned our secret menu items. And one of them is our chocolate old fashioned, which is that chocolate whiskey with my bourbon and a little bit of seltzer to open it up, splash of bitters, and one of my homemade cherries. That's it. That's the whole thing.
That's it. Yeah. I'm done. I'm leaving.
We're still ready.
Wow, that's just... Mark, that's amazing. I swear you're going to tell me after we wrap up, oh, yeah, you know, we have a family heritage. We've been distilling for centuries. You know, my great-grandfather in Ireland, he opened up the first distillery. Nobody knew about it. That's what you're going to tell me, right?
Oh, I wish that were so. But no, we don't have that type of link. Again, on my father's side, my great-grandfather worked with the distilleries and the vineyards in the old country. But we don't have a direct path from that. And the World War kind of messed that whole thing up. And yeah, now my mother's side of the family is unconnected to that whole history. And here we are, making spirits again.
This is the habanero.
No, it's not.
What? What is this?
That is a mango bourbon.
Wait, why does my mouth start to taste spiciness? Why does it do that? What are you doing? Stop messing with me. What is this?
It's just the magic of the thing. That is the result of one of the local neighbors that I told you we keep meeting new ones. One of the guys who lives close to here is a mango magnate. And he showed up one day and asked if we'd done anything with mangoes.
I've never met a mango magnate.
Yeah, neither had I. Very cool guy. So he asked if we had done anything with mangoes. No. They're very expensive, tricky to work with. They go bad pretty fast. And it's like, oh, okay, cool. Would you like to? Sure, yeah, I'm open to anything. So long as it's fresh and kind of local, if I can get it that way, I prefer it. And next thing I know, he shows up with a truck full of mangoes.
Do you get spiciness?
I do get a little bit of a kick, yeah.
That's because of the proof of your whiskey and just that flavor profile that comes out.
What you're trying right now is still cask strength. So that's probably where that heat is coming from. So that is the barrel proof.
It's about 114?
It goes in at 125, and so after the few years it's been sitting, yeah, 114 would be a fair estimate.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there a tropical cocktail for that? Because
Not yet.
I feel tropical with that. It's really good.
Yeah, I'm still experimenting with what to do with that one. We have one barrel of it, and that's it. That is a mango mash that we then soaked in mangoes. And then put that into a barrel for the last 3.5 years. I was thinking a little bit of coconut cream.
Coconut too, yeah, definitely.
Because I've given little samples to a number of chefs that I know, and they all pick up on that kind of coconut smoothness.
Yeah, it's definitely tropical.
Yeah.
There's a creaminess about this as well. There's always, through everything you're doing, there's a creaminess to it. This is so complex.
Yeah.
Like I said, the first thing my mouth said, ooh, habanero. No habanero. But you get the mango, you get the earthiness of mango. It's not overly sweet. You still get the grain notes from the whiskey. You get the oakiness of the whiskey. Wow.
Yeah, it's very good.
That's what I'm aiming for, that wow.
Yeah, we're just going to call him wow for now.
I've been called worse things. That's a good one. Yeah, I'll take it.
Wow. All right, you got some cherries here.
Yes.
What do we got?
Well, another one of those things. We're sitting around. All right, we've got some cocktails that we're making. Let me get you a spoon to separate.
We're going
to
spoon.
Yeah. So the cherries came about.
We have cherries here. We have cherries here.
Yeah. similar to the espresso liqueur, the apple pie moonshine, the moonshine itself. We're sitting around figuring out, we have these drinks we want to make. They need these things. We can buy them. But do we really want to? Do we have to? Can we make them ourselves? A good Manhattan, old fashions, a couple different classic drinks often involve a cocktail cherry. And also my wife loves those Luxardo cherries, the ones that are like $40
they're
for
so
a tiny
good.
Little jar, and they're delicious. So I set to the task of figuring out, how do I make this at home or with the business in order to elevate our cocktails and not spend $40 on Luxardo cherries for my wife to eat like candy. And this is the result. They are local sour cherries that I stew in, again, our simple syrup, cinnamon, nutmeg, a little bit of cardamom, and let it just kind of get to know itself. And once it's cooked down considerably, normally by about 50 to 60%, I add the same volume for the first set that you tried of our bourbon.
So you don't sell these?
Not yet.
If you're a bartender anywhere near here and you're looking for that little secret that nobody else has, find out from Mark when you can get these cherries. But better yet, if you're looking for an amazing cocktail,
there we go.
Where you're going to find these cherries? Come here. Independent Spirits Distillery. So you can get these. These are, wow. Like, mix. Oh, my God. You're messing with me, Mark.
And there's more.
And yes. There are more. What are these other ones?
This is a new batch, and I want the two of you to try these and tell me what you think of them and what's in them.
But I like the fact that you spice these. You mentioned the cardamom, the nutmeg.
Yes.
You're not just, hey, all right, we could take simple syrup, we could take cherries and soak them in our bourbon or our rye. But you're adding more and you're making more depth. You're creating more opportunity.
Is there more cardamom on this one?
No.
No.
Well, actually, yes, kind of. That should be a dead giveaway.
That's what I feel like I taste pretty strongly, but maybe it's something else.
I don't know why, but I get limoncello or something.
No limoncello. That
no.
Touch it.
No. I get lemon. I get some more citrus to this.
I didn't add any citrus. Well, again, kind of.
You did.
There's some kind of spice that's very strong. I got cardamom, but I don't know. You're more the spice guy.
Roll with that.
Stand. I mean, I still get the nutmeg. I get the cinnamon. I get clove. I get cardamom. There's something else in there.
Mm-hmm.
I love watching you tease it apart.
It's like a baking. I know there's a baking spice in there. It's almost peppery, but I think that's coming out of your bourbon.
Oh, there's no bourbon in these.
What is this?
That second batch is a brand new version that a few, again, of the chef friends that I have recommended. So I'm asking you.
Is this the Acavit?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Because it's got all those spices in there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's kind of like, all right, where's that flavor coming from?
So that would make sense then.
Wow.
My mom wants to call those the magic cherries because they just keep opening up and showing you new parts
there's
of them.
There's different flavors that come through. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because of the spices of the Acavit with the cherry, it just keeps going. So, yeah.
Yeah, because I'm like, there's so many different spices there that, but then you're right. Wow. Holy, and nobody's making that.
No.
Nobody's making that.
No.
Wow. Independent Spirits Distillery.
Yep.
You guys, like, we need to, like, all right, here's where you are now, and we need, you got all those big warehouses opening up. You guys need to take over one of those. What is the future? What does the plan look like for the distillery?
Continuing to bottle bourbon and making amazing things that we are inventing along the way. Taking old recipes and tweaking them, or just trying to follow them as best we can. That's the goal, really. We want to expand, but in doing that, we want to do it organically and gently so that we can maintain this quality. That's the real cornerstone of everything. marketing is the current push. We need to figure that out in a more unified kind of direction. And we're getting there. As the world is opening back up, we are figuring out our notes and our beats. I want to start making the place into a presentable wedding kind of venue. I want to do more rental parties. We have a beautiful area right here where you can do parties all the time. And the back production space is really nice for dancing and music and lights. Outside is awesome when it gets a little bit warmer, because today is a little chilly. But yeah, we want to have more folks come through. We want to try to get the name out there more and maintain this quality that I am always so happy to see other people appreciate.
Fermented adventure party.
Yeah.
Or we'll just start buying barrels.
Yeah.
We can't wait to come back. See you guys in the spring when it's opened up and you got things going on. But again, if you're within an hour's drive, easy, make this a place to come out and see. Plan your wedding, plan your kid's first birthday party, all those things. Mark, again, thank you so much for your time. This has been awesome. Independent Spirits Distillery, thank you.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, we're open Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and yeah, we have
at Independent Spirits Distillery.
Yes,
on the gram,
Distilling and Independent Spirits Distillery.
All right, that's important. Yes. But people are going to find you, and yes, they will come.
Please, yeah.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.